Hey, what's up, guys? It's Big Cat. Before you start listening to this episode, I wanted to let you know that we're running a special sale on all Barstool merch. Go to store.barstoolsports.com and use code PODCAST for 10% off. Go to store.barstoolsports.com and use code PODCAST for 10% off.
What it is, this is the Macho Man Randy Savage.
And this is
Hard Factor. And there is no one that does it better
right now, yeah.
Nope. But he does it better. I ain't repeating myself. Go ahead, tell me something right now.
Yeah, and I'm living in a nightmare.
And I'm not a racist. And I'm always Jewish.
Oh, yeah.
Another episode of Hard Factor. It is Thursday, December 27th. We hope you all had a very happy holidays. We're back for our one episode this week, and then we'll be back next week for a New Year's Eve episode. Top stories for the day. Mark and Pat are going to take a Trump date, cover all things President Trump, including the government shutdown, his bone spurs, and a mocking call to a kid about Santa.
You're going to love it. He did a lot while we were gone, so it's going to take two of us to talk through it.
Yeah, it's a lot. All right, then we're all going to take you through a weight loss competition update, the Hard Factor Hard Body Weight Loss Competition. We'll go through this week's results and how we're all attacking the weight loss competition and also the overall results. And then Wes and I will take us through a lightning round of other headlines. Take it away, guys.
All right. 'Twas the night before Christmas, and all through the White House, there was a creature a-tweeting and making calls with his spouse. The government was still closed, explained many a pundit, but the president's wall remains unfunded. On the phone with a child, Donald pulled from his arsenal and said, "Do you believe in Santa, or at seven, is that marginal?" It's a little poem I wrote, guys.
Nice. Talking
about Trump's night before Christmas. It was very magical, even in the White House, as he humbly worked through the holiday. And how do I know he did that? Well, he tweeted his every move.
He let you know.
Yeah, he always lets us know. He's not working without telling you.
Oh, yeah. Do you work Saturday? I work Saturday.
I'm going to work Saturday, probably. Tweet, I'm at work, and that's what he did. Quote, I'm all alone, poor me, in the White House, waiting for the Democrats to come back and make a deal on desperately needed border security. So, jab. Yeah, he then presumably went on to call everyone in his Rolodex to bother them on Christmas Eve and let them know how much harder he was working than them, but... You know, that took him until about 1:15 when it seems the only person who picked up the phone was the other loneliest man in the world, renowned Grinch and Christmas hater, Kim Jong-un. How do I know? He tweeted about that, too. After that long day, he wasn't done by a long shot. He and the First Lady took calls from the children of America who wanted to know where Santa was. And Trump found the time to cast doubt about the existence of Santa Claus in the mind of a 7-year-old girl. In a magically devastating phone conversation for a 7-year-old named Coleman, Trump asks, "What are you going to do for Christmas? And are you still a believer in Santa?" And then he followed it up with, "Because at seven, it's marginal, right?" Yeah, we couldn't hear how the girl responded, but we can only assume it started with a pause, which then grew into a long, drawn-out crying fit. Job well done, Mr. President.
Yeah, I mean, if that girl doesn't have any older siblings, it is seven, eight, you know. But at eight, I have an 8-year-old, and he's done. I'm not doing the Santa thing anymore. He obviously doesn't believe. He's milking the fuck out of it. He knows it's bullshit.
For you or for him?
Yeah, I mean, I found out myself before
that
seven.
That kid's almost 6 feet tall, Wes. Like, he's almost at the chewing tobacco phase. If you don't tell him, I'm going to tell him before next Christmas.
Yeah, seven. Yeah. I agree with President Trump. It's marginal at best at seven. Also, this Work on Christmas Act is definitely something he just does every year.
Yeah, no, that's just who he is as a person. And look, it's okay to you might be right that seven is marginal, but like, it's not your job. It's not your place to say that to a child.
No, that was a dumb
move.
It's
true. You should probably leave it alone.
So last we talked, we were joking that the government shutdown was not going to happen and also that it was not a big deal. Well, the partial government shutdown did happen, and I'd say it's still mostly it's not a big deal for most people, but It's still going on. It's been going on, and it might go on for a little while. So President Trump said on Tuesday, "I can't tell you when the government is going to open. I can tell you it's not going to be open until we have a wall, a fence, or whatever they would like to call it." So he doesn't care if it's a wall or a fence, but he needs money for to put something in between, you know, us and Mexico. So there are 9 departments without government funding during the shutdown, which equates to roughly 400,000 federal employees that will or are currently being furloughed. And then also in those 9 departments, plus a few extra things, there's 400,000 people that are like too important to be furloughed. So it, like, really lets you know where you stand in those departments. Like, I'm too important, so fuck off. The departments that are affected are Department of Agriculture, Department of Commerce, Homeland Security, Housing and Urban Development, and the Interior, the Justice, the State, and the Transportation and Treasury. Also, NASA and the FDA, or Food and Drug Administration, are affected. So, yeah, I mean, that's what's going on. And NASA's shut down. Oh, no. No more Mars space rovers that find, like, one zillionth of what life is like on Mars. Like, nothing at all about Mars.
We can't get the same picture of the Martian landscape.
This one does circles.
Sleep.
Yeah. So who gives
I was actually really hoping that the whole government was shut down. I was supposed to, you know, take the little guy. We'd already done this a couple years ago, like going to D.C., see the museums and all that shit. But when I heard the government shut down, I was like, oh, that's a perfect excuse. I don't have to go. But if I've come to find out all that shit's still open, you just can't go to the bathroom at those places. They've set up like porta potties and shit. So if I want to go to like the monuments, I got to like, you know, piss outside.
The janitors are furloughed.
You should just tell him that they're all shut down because of the government.
Oh, he would love that. He'd be like, what? I don't have to go? Fantastic. Yeah.
Just ride it out. Pretend like you're
dumb. To play Super Smash Brothers for another 3
last
days.
Last thing on this is 40% of the FDA is furloughed, and probably more will be, and 65% of the Center for Disease Control, or CDC, is furloughed. So if anyone wants to inject a disease into food, probably now is the time, right?
Perfect.
I'm going to stay away from romaine just as a precaution.
Not good.
All right, look, Trump, our president, has always been evasive in some way, shape, or form about why he was unable to serve in the Vietnam War. But a story has emerged recently that may shed some light on the issue, because the daughters of a late podiatrist, that's a foot doctor, Wes, have come forward saying that their father diagnosed Donald Trump with bone spurs as a favor to his father, Fred Trump, who happened to be the foot doctor's landlord. It's Dr. Larry Broadstein, a podiatrist who died in 2007. He often told the story of how he gave Trump the diagnosis of bone spurs, which he really actually didn't have, so that he could be exempt from military service. Braunstein rented his office in Jamaica, Queens, from Fred Trump in the 1960s. So
it was a very slight case of bone spurs, you know?
Yeah, he said something about bone spurs once, but he said he had like a strong letter from his doctor, but didn't remember the doctor's name.
Or which foot it was in.
Yeah.
Something tells me that all of us would have taken advantage of this situation if we had the opportunity. Yeah, you want to go to war? Or you want to get this fake note from the doctor?
It's rich kid's disease.
Yeah. Or you want to walk a little funny in public?
I fake bone spurs to get out of arguments with my wife. Of course I'd fake it to get out of war.
True. But the point is, he's the commander in chief, and someone else may have died in his place.
Well, let's continue with the Trump and the military. Trump made a surprise visit to U.S. troops in Iraq on Wednesday, probably because he got dragged by the internet for being the first president to not visit the troops on Christmas Day since 2002, or because all of the generals he hired have recently quit or stood trial. Or because of the bone spurs we just talked about. Who knows? But the important thing is that he did go see the 5,000 troops in Iraq. Trump was on the military base, shaking hands, taking photos, and giving interviews for about roughly 3 hours, so not the longest of trips. He also had a planned visit in person with the Iraqi Prime Minister Adel Abdul Mahdi, but that was canceled because they couldn't agree on how to do the visit, so they just did a phone call instead. Nice. But... I'm going to give Trump some credit here. He did cancel his Christmas Mar-a-Lago trip, as we mentioned earlier, with him being lonely at the White House. And he said it was due to the government shutdown. He wanted to be working. So at least he's trying to do his job by going to see the troops and staying in the White House over the holidays and during the shutdown, unlike his Secretary of Treasury, Steven Mnuchin, the weirdly pronounced name. I don't know if that was correct or not, but he was on vacation. Yeah, he was on vacation in Cabo while the stock market had the worst day in Christmas Eve history. It actually had a really shitty week leading up to that as well, all the way up until Wednesday when it rebounded and the Dow went up like 1,000 points, marking the beginning of what will hopefully be a very successful Santa rally, which is the 7-day period of stock market success that usually occurs right after Christmas and is usually a good thing. So
Santa rally.
There you go.
It's a fun name.
And I got a little message from Melania, if she's listening. Next time you go visit the fucking troops, wear something a little sexier. They want to see you in a sexy outfit. They don't want to see you covered up in some giant coat.
If there's 5,000 troops, there should be 4,700 people jerking off to Melania. She should be wearing something. Yeah.
It's a rack.
Wear something sexy.
What are you doing with a coat on in Iraq?
Exactly.
Yeah. All right, let's get into this. This week's weight loss competition update. So it's the Hard Factor, hard body weight loss competition. Week 3 results. Drum roll, please.
Week 4, isn't it?
Week four results. Drum roll, please. Mark wins with 4.2 pounds lost. Wes gets second with 1.9 pounds lost. Will, I got third with 1.4 pounds lost. And Pat was in last with 2.9 pounds gained.
Oh,
geez, Pat, well, you hurt your foot, Pat. You should go see a podiatrist.
I got bone spurs. You know that.
Look, I feel partially responsible for Pat's weight gain because I got him. He lost last week in a close race, and I got him like a honey bun instead of a donut, and that thing was massive. So I feel like that's kind of on me.
That was 300 calories.
And look, I'm not happy that I gained this week, but I will say this. The holidays, obviously, there's cookies and fucking cake and desserts all around and shitty meals. But then also, I'm with my family, and I love my family. But if there's one time I want to stress eat, it's when I'm surrounded by the people that raise me.
Nowhere to hide.
Or drink. Stress drink.
Yeah, stress drinking. Oh, my God.
Yeah. All right, well, you owe us a good week next week, so...
Yeah. I'm gonna bounce back, guys. I'm exercising now, so now I'm dangerous. Yeah.
Also, Pat's gonna post his video of eating a donut and chugging a beer on Instagram Live on the Hard Factor account today or tomorrow. So
I'm telling you, this is why I lost. But whatever. Okay, fine. I'll just be in last place every week. Whatever.
Okay. I mean,
it's kind of like a winner gets the ball in 21. You know?
Yeah.
Like,
right.
Yeah. You're in a rough spot. But yeah. So the overall results didn't change that much. Mark's still in a commanding lead with 11% lost overall. I'm in second with 8.5% lost overall. Wes, only shakeup of the week, took over third place with 7% lost overall. And Pat is in fourth with 6% lost. And so we got some questions on Twitter about our approach. So each of us is going to tell you a little bit about what we're doing. I'll go first. This is Will. My diet every day, I start off with the Jimmy Dean egg witch. It's like this little frozen thing. It's good. I take a multivitamin and fish oil. And then for lunch and dinner, I try to eat meat, whole grains, and vegetables as much as possible. But I'm probably going to start switching to skipping dinners and do some intermittent fasting because Mark's pretty hard to keep up with. And that's because I haven't been doing cardio. I've been lifting weights and doing yoga. So gotta make up.
Yeah, I asked Mark if he had started running, and he said that he did, which means we're in big fucking trouble.
Yeah. Well, the elliptical, you guys keep talking about the running. The elliptical is all I fucking need. So that's basically what I've been doing. I did hit the track once, and I'm trying to get back into running shape. But I did, like, today, I had gained a couple pounds over the I was in Florida for Christmas and eating the snacks and the stress eating or drinking.
And the Florida.
Time, but, you know, that you just eat over the holidays. So I got home, and I was like, fuck. And I just knew that I was going to be up. I went really hard before Florida. The few days I was only there for 3 days, so the beginning of the week I went hard, and then at the end I came home and I had this mentality like I'm going to just exercise until I'm skinnier. I lost weight, so I went on the elliptical and put on like a sweatsuit and just did 70 minutes on the elliptical and went 15 miles at like a high resistance and like just probably my heart rate was like 155 the whole time, just like way too high, and just like then. But that's what I've just been doing, is just determination. Hard exercising on the elliptical, not this pussy bullshit where you're like doing 3 miles and stopping, or I did good, I got a light sweat. I'm sweating my ass off constantly. I don't eat breakfast. I do a cold brew at work, and then I kind of like have a very healthy lunch, and then I intermittently will have a healthy dinner or skip that as well. And it's just a combination of that and extreme exercise. It's not that hard to do, just fucking do it.
So I, like Pat, have been home with my family. I was able to keep it under a little bit better control than Pat, apparently.
Fuck you.
But I actually started changed it up a little bit this week. I've been starting with a smoothie with you know, a little bit of Greek yogurt in it for the protein. Pretty sensible lunch, and then I've been eating dinner. So I found that when I was trying to weight train, I didn't have enough energy after doing the cardio to get a beneficial weight training, session in.
Yeah.
So I had to get some carbs in me because I just couldn't do it. So I'm starting to build my muscle back up. Finally got some of those breakthrough workouts this week. So feeling pretty good. Feeling pretty good.
A lot of buzzwords there. Let me tell you what I'm doing to lose. I'm losing. Look,
man. You were in third, though. I mean,
I was in third.
I will say this, though. Even though what Wes just said, like, sorry to interrupt you, Pat, but like,
no.
We're all in better shape today. We've all lost weight, and we're all in better shape today.
Significantly
than we were when we started.
Yeah.
So I mean, it's all positive.
We lost 90 pounds in a month, even with
right,
Pat's mess up.
And yes, my indiscretion. And look, what have I been doing? I've been doing what I do to every problem. I've been throwing money at it. I joined another gym, so I got two gym memberships now. I got a Planet Fitness, and I got a high dollar one that I've been a member of for a long time, but never go to. I've been reading about this intermittent fasting thing. I pretty much do that naturally, so I'm going to really try to stick to that this week. I'm going to start, I guess it's, I'm going to take 16 hours off and then 8 hours of my feed window, fed window. So I'm going to stop eating at 10 and not start eating until like 3 or 4. That's my
plan.
There
you go. That's a good idea. Yeah, Pat throws money at his weight loss. He just drives by a Home Depot and picks up a Mexican guy in a truck, and he just has him shake him all day.
That's what I do. It hasn't been working, but it's what I know. It's my coping skill.
Can we call intermittent fasting snake mode?
Yes,
yeah, snake mode.
Let's use snake mode. That's
for those of you
who
had a Nokia. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. All right.
Well, that's it. That's it for the weight loss this week.
I'm going to come back strong next week, boys.
Oh, for sure. Everybody's coming back strong. It's also New Year's Eve next week, so it's going to be kind of interesting. We'll see how we do. But let's kick off the lightning round of other headlines. Wes, go ahead.
All right. So this story coming out of Georgia gives new meaning to the phrase bad Santa. That's because this Santa had the bodies of his two teenagers buried in his backyard. So not very jolly. So Elwin Crocker Sr.
Were they alive?
No, they were buried. They were dead. They were dead. Elwin Crocker Sr., who worked as a Santa at the local Walmart, is being charged with child cruelty and concealing the death of another after the bodies of his two children, both 14 when they were last seen and apparently never really reported missing, were found in his backyard. Not sure why not murder has been charged yet. I'm sure it's coming eventually after the case develops.
Yeah, sounds like they should charge him with murder.
Yeah, sounds like they should be murdered. So the two teens were last seen in October and November of 2016, and apparently no real search had been given until a recent tip led investigators to give another search to their father's home where four other degenerates lived, including the child's stepmother, step-grandmother, and the step-grandmother's boyfriend. And they were also charged with the same things. They all lived in the same house. So the cause of death is yet unknown. Any guesses of how these kids died?
Having a father named Elwin?
I'm going to go with a weird sex act into severe head trauma.
I was going to go with like a poisoning of some type, like a gas.
I think Mark nailed it.
Weird shit going on here in that he's a senior, so presumably he killed Elwin Jr. And then both of his kids were 14. So, I mean, that's also a pretty weird thing, right? Unless they were twins. So maybe it was he killed Elwin Jr.
They could have been Irish
Jr.
twins.
Too? Yeah, it's true.
They could have been Irish twins. One was a girl, one was a boy. I think they might have been.
Oh, God.
Good.
Let's move on. This is fucked up.
That's disgusting. Yeah. All right, Kevin Spacey. Oh, this is less disgusting. Not really. Kevin Spacey is being charged for indecent assault and battery in Massachusetts for an incident at a Nantucket restaurant in 2016. But on the same day that news came out, which was Christmas Eve, he also released a bizarre video of himself on YouTube playing Frank Underwood. It seemed like he was playing Frank Underwood as himself, as Kevin Spacey, talking about how he's not guilty, and since it was on the same day as the information coming out about his assault and battery charges, it seems like he's talking about that case. But he's saying he's not guilty, but that you know he is guilty of other crimes and that you love it. So it's a very strange video. If you want to watch it, it's on YouTube. It's called Let Me Be Frank. And it's difficult to tell if he's pleading for Netflix to bring back Underwood as a character to House of Cards, or if he's just telling the world that he loves to fuck underage boys and that they all know it and that deep down inside they love him for it. But it's definitely one of those two things.
I'm hoping so it's the former, but
he's definitely just losing his mind.
Bizarre. For those of you guys that didn't see the video, it's essentially like him in the kitchen cooking as Frank Underwood. He's released like maybe 6 videos total on his personal YouTube, on his Kevin Spacey YouTube, mostly like videos of plays that he's done, presumably, you know, where he fucked the cast, the underage cast afterwards. But like, I can't really make sense of it. Do you guys have any takes on why he did this?
He's nuts. Yeah, he had one too many scotches. He looks like a Scotch guy. It was Christmas, so he got drunk. Potentially, he had a good hookup with a young kid, and he was on a high. I don't really.
Pat, it's because he doesn't make very good decisions, Pat.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, to you, Wes, but to him, his decisions, he's loving them.
To the world, Pat.
All right, what's next?
There it is.
So I'm officially scratching off Indonesian coastlines as a place I want to visit after yet another tsunami struck the region, leaving over 400 dead as of this podcast. The tsunami, which occurred just days from the 14th anniversary of the Boxing Day tsunami in Sumatra. I'm sure you guys remember that one. I've seen the videos. One of the worst ever, where over 225,000 people died. Unlike that 2004 tsunami, which was caused by a massive 9.1 earthquake, this tsunami was caused by landslides sparked by an erupting volcano. I didn't know that could happen. After the 2004 tragedy, many countries donated early warning systems and buoys in the ocean to help Indonesia and its people. But those systems stopped working in 2012, and the country has needed new systems.
Batteries.
Yeah, I don't know what it was. But the country has needed new systems in place that can not only detect underwater quakes, but other massive water displacement events, such as the 160-acre chunk of land that slid into the ocean after the volcano erupted. So this volcano, Anak Krakatoa, is still currently erupting, and they're fearing that more tsunamis could occur. Also, in case you have not seen it yet, there is an insane video of an entire band being swept away from their stage as they're performing when the tsunami hits the shore. Only one of that band members survived that incident. So if you're like me and like to watch fucked up shit on YouTube and tsunami stuff, go check it out.
Yeah. Watch those people die on the video.
You have never seen a tsunami video?
Yeah, but I don't want to watch people dying. This one's not terrible.
They don't see them dying.
It cuts out early. Yeah, yeah, okay.
Krakatoa
is a badass name for a volcano, though.
Yeah, it is.
Speaking of Asia, on Tuesday, Thailand voted to become the first Southeast Asian country to allow medical marijuana. The measure passed the Thai National Legislative Assembly with no objecting votes whatsoever. This is big news. More for the geography than anything else, with Asian countries typically being less receptive to legalized marijuana than other parts of the world. And personally, I was shocked to find out that Thailand didn't already have some kind of way to get weed legally. The types of beaches that they have, the types of strip shows that they're known to promote, strike me as a place where you'd want to be high to enjoy all those. it's good. Good for Thailand and surprising all at the same time.
Not good for me because I switched my honeymoon from Thailand to not Thailand. So
you're going to find a guy on the beach who's going to sell you.
Yeah, there's always a guy on the beach.
It wasn't Indonesia, was it? You didn't?
No.
Mark, you're like a target to get to sell weed to. They're going to be coming up to you.
Nice. Thank you. That's a compliment. Thank you.
Yeah, you're going to be so thin, too.
Look at this thin American guy. He definitely loves weed.
All right, so this is a feel-good story coming out of New Jersey. Don't hear that too often. But Harold McDowell, an 85-year-old gambler / poker player, did what every amateur degenerate like me dreams of doing. He won huge at the casino, $1 million huge. Harold, who was playing 3-card poker with the 6-card bonus bet option at the Borgata in Atlantic City, defied 20 million-to-1 odds when he bet $5 on the bonus and hit a 6-card royal flush of diamonds. So Harold had the 10, queen, and ace, and the dealer had the 9, jack, and king to make the 6-card flush.
He hit the impossible.
He hit the impossible. It was the first time the prop bet had hit at the Borgata, and after the casino stole $200,000 in taxes, Harold and his wife, who was playing next to him,
divorced him.
And
No, she won money. She's good.
Yeah. They're 85. They ain't going. She's not going anywhere. She actually had found out that day that she was cancer free after years of surgeries and treatment. So positive to this story. Yeah. Awesome. Harold said when he hit, he calmly turned to his wife and said, "I just won $1 million." To which she responded, "You're full of crap." McDowell chalked the win up.
You're always lying, Harold.
You're always trying to one up me, Harold. I just told you about the cancer.
So McDowell
had to be today, Harold.
McDowell chalks the win up to the luck of the Irish and says he will be giving the money to his kids, who also just shit their pants because at 85, Harold and his wife are not going to be able to spend too much of it before they go down for the long sleep.
Yeah, good, that's good true. For everybody. It's always nice when a story ends with everybody having a great day except for the casino.
Agreed.
Yeah. All right, finally, another tale from the great state of New Jersey. Remember the couple that scammed everyone for the GoFundMe money using the homeless Philly veteran guy?
Yes.
And then he supposedly partied all of the money away in a trailer on their front lawn.
Right. Well, they just let him do that. Yeah, yeah.
Right, yeah. Well, it turns out they're all liars, which we had covered before, that the couple was lying about it. It actually happened that the couple met the homeless guy at a truck stop near a casino that they used to go to a lot, and they all
said, "Let's get into business together."
Yeah, exactly. They all had to, like, we're gambling degenerates, and we can't keep any money in our account. You're homeless. Let's get this GoFundMe going. So they all got paid, and then they all blew their cash, so they divvied it up between the three of them. Except for maybe the homeless guy didn't blow all of his cash. He may be the only one that didn't lose all his money. But it doesn't matter anymore, since now they're all on trial for theft and deception, and they're in very deep shit with the GoFundMe company, who has fully refunded all of the donors who got scammed by these three.
Hmm. That's nice of them.
Yeah.
Interesting.
It's a bold move to fully refund everybody.
Yeah.
It is a good move, but they set a precedent, and I'm not saying the GoFundMe wall, that guy's trying to scam anyone. I just think they're going to have a problem dealing with the payouts when they don't reach the billion-dollar goal, and when you can't donate $50 to $100 million to the government or whatever. I think they're going to have an issue there with all the wall GoFundMe money.
And yeah,
they just set a really shitty precedent for them, so I don't know.
Do you think any of those backers are armed, maybe?
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe so.
I'm guessing that all that money from the wall, because obviously not going to hit a billion unless someone like Trump donates like $500 million. That they're going to switch up the where the money will go.
They just build like a church of hate, like a hate building.
Yeah, let's build a giant fat Hillary statue.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, they'd be happy. That'd
they
be,
should
yeah.
do yeah, a Hillary
perfect
balloon.
Solution.
All right, that's it for Hard Factor this week. We will be back with you for a New Year's Eve episode next week. Hope you're having an amazing holiday season, and we'll all get ready for the new year together. Talk to you then.
See you later.